the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, back to the States and a worrying development potentially for Elon Musk, the man very much in the news at the moment. The January sales figures for Tesla cars made for troubling reading. Sales of the electric vehicles have plummeted in several European countries. So are the wheels coming off at Tesla, or is it just a slow puncture? Technology editor with the Irish and Sunday Independent, Adrian Weckler, joins me now. Adrian, you're very welcome. Excuse me. Tesla sales have fallen in Europe, particularly in places like France and Germany. How much have they fallen, and is it just a blip?
In the big markets, they've fallen by about 50%. So France and Germany are between 50 and 60%, 75% down in Spain. In the Nordic market, which is a very big electric car market in Europe, you're talking about 40% down as well. So right across Europe, Tesla sales are down. They're down. There's a trend here because the Tesla earnings showed that Teslas overall are down year on year in terms of sales. But in Europe, it's particularly acute for a variety of reasons.
Yeah, when you look at those reasons, is it difficult to strip out what the big ones are? There's a pattern around subsidies for electric vehicles. There's a pattern around Elon Musk being in the news and what European consumers might think of him. What can we attribute it to? There's also his intervention in the in German politics and the German elections.
Yeah, so there are two widely attributed reasons why Tesla sales are down. The first one is because there's a new car coming out this year, a new Model Y, and Tesla buyers tend to look forward to the next shiny thing, and that's probably due sometime around the summer. So they may be holding off due to that, given that the Model Y was the best-selling electric car in Ireland, for example, last year. But the other reason is exactly the one that you spoke about just now. Elon Musk has begun to impose himself, to intervene in European politics, not just in US politics. So last month, for example, he held an online chat with the leader of the AfD German party, which is generally considered to be somewhere between the right and the far right. And that is annoying Germans unduly. A series of polls have shown that Elon Musk's own brand is now an issue in France and Germany and other European countries. And because he is so closely associated with Tesla and Tesla cars, those sales are suffering. If you go online, you will see, for example, a boom in stickers which say, I bought this before Elon went crazy. That's the vibe. That's the mood at the moment in Europe.
And inevitably, let's say a few years ago, people who were early buyers of Tesla cars, they wanted to do something on climate change. They were happy to drive an EV. The product itself was revolutionary and a really top class product. And they probably as well, many of them, not all of them, but might have liked the Elon Musk brand and image. Then as that changes, the question then is, we say, well, look, it doesn't really matter whether he's associated with it. I still like the car. I still like the technology.
Yeah, very much so. When I talk to Tesla drivers in Ireland, for example, many of them would regard themselves as being quite liberal. Some, you know, even left wing, they would regard themselves as being futurists, environmentalists as well, because Tesla's, of course, largely led the way in terms of electric cars, which are generally considered to be better for the environment. It's a little bit different now. So if you bought a Tesla car in 2022 or 2023, I think you were probably doing it mainly because of that futuristic dream. Like, Musk was something of an inspiration. He's the guy that sends rockets up with SpaceX, wants to go to Mars.
He's in the news now in so many different ways. So some of the examples of things, for example, one of the guys that he hired to sort of look at the US aid and Medicaid services. And one of the guys was part of a group in the past that helped to effectively shutter the United States Agency for International Development. But prior to that, when the guy was 19, he was a one-time Northeastern student who was fired from a data security company after an investigation into the leaking of internal information. That was one of his hires. Equally then, both Donald Trump and Elon Musk have been openly naming and criticizing on social media platforms particular journalists. Donald Trump called for the Washington Post to fire Eugene Robinson, a Pulitzer Prize winning columnist. When you put all of that together and the kind of chaos that's happening at the moment, what does that say about him? Is it all chaos theory, or is he the master strategist?
The best analysis that I have seen is that it's more the former than the latter. It's chaos theory, but with a huge dollop of energy. So if you look at what he's actually achieved for himself, he's the world's richest man. Most of that wealth is tied to Tesla. Tesla's share value has almost doubled since Donald Trump was elected to the White House, which was largely brought about, or partially brought about, by the X platform and Trump's millions in support, but also his advocacy on X. He's generally considered to be a very good entrepreneur in terms of building value. That said, he's also seen as being chaotic. He is the human definition of move fast and break things. And the concern is, with his role at the moment in the US government, with the DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, unit that he is leading, going into areas like USAID, going into Medicare, Medicaid. The fear is that by changing things, so many things so quickly, and treating it like a startup, that the US's government system might be broken like a startup can be broken.
And that's one of the contrasts about this, Adrian, isn't it? That whatever he might have done in relation to his own companies, whether that was at Twitter when he took it over and became X, whether it was at Tesla, whether it was at SpaceX, applying those things to state organizations and agencies is different. And often the same thing just doesn't work.
I mean, absolutely. If you look at X, or formerly Twitter, for example, commercially, that is a basket case. It's terrific for influence, and it has helped his other issues and those of his allies, but it barely makes money. It's advertising, it's very, very badly run. He's been involved in other companies that haven't been particularly successful as well. But ultimately, all of those were just companies funded by investors. Whether they live or they die is not the end of the world. What he's doing at the moment, the criticism of what he's doing at the moment, is that by gutting agencies, by pledging to, you know, cut $40 billion that USAID, for example, administers, including, by the way, benefiting a few Irish-based charities and organizations, that you're actually playing with people's lives. You're actually messing with fundamental systems that that are crucial to people's welfare. And that's something that, for ideological reasons, the Trump administration seems to want to be able to do at the moment. But the point that you make is a very good one.
And I think many people might want a lot of agencies to be reformed and improved and doing things differently. It's probably the method and the speed at which it's being done that has caused such disruption. Adrian Weckler, technology editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.